Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 700 of the Overseas Connection podcast. Today is September 11th, 2022. Oof. So we remember, of course, those fallen from September 11th. But we also, it's a day of celebration because episode 700.
Right.
Although I think it's going to be a bit of a low-key podcast because, you know what? It's just another show. We just, we're so in the zone. We've done so many of these. Yeah, 700, big deal. We'll do 800. It'll be big deal. 1,000, maybe we get, you know, serious and we'll do something fun. Okay, if you are tuning in, this is a video game podcast. We do talk about other things, not just video games, just so you know. We like to think of ourselves as more mature, wiser, and it's mostly because we can buy our own beer. My name is Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. Joining us, not in the toilet, not near the toilet, but in her own little world, Kim Woods.
Hell, I'm there every day. What are you talking about? Every day.
I didn't want to go
somewhere
there.
Away from the children. Yeah, that's me. I'm here in Arbela, Missouri. If you can point that out on the map, I'll give you a high five because, you know,
blanket. Legitimately could not point that out on a map.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a nice day, believe it or not. The sun's not beating down on us terribly. So, yay. Anyway, here I am, show 700. So, yay.
You've made it. You've made it to 700. Also on the podcast, also just making it, Mr. Robin Tate.
Hello there. Hiya. It's me.
It's me. That's it. It's me. Robin, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
All right. Well, like I said, we do this every week. And if you're not familiar with it, it's 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 3 p.m. in whatever little town Kim said she's from. don't ask me to repeat that. We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube. We also will put forward an audio podcast. So if you're like me and you're at the gym and you're wanting to burn a little calorie and also listen to something fun, well, you can pick other things, but you could also pick our podcast. All right. Let's see. Things to do, things to talk about. Let's talk about some birthdays real quick. Jason Powell had his birthday yesterday. According to the documentation, 51. It could be 81. We're not positive. Also, Darren Bladdock.
Baldock. Baldock.
Okay, how is it Baldock when it's B-L-A-D-O-C-K?
This is
That's
England.
Bladdock.
This is England.
That's fucking dumb. But Darren is having a birthday. Midlife Gamers, happy birthday, Darren. We're going to play a song for you. Robin, do you have a song ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Insert name here. Happy birthday to you.
Gentleman is not recognized.
And let me just say, Darren, apologies. I said that was dumb. It's not your fault. You're from England. So... we'll let it slide. Just wait till I start talking about the Queen. You guys are going to be really pissed off. Anyway, all right. let's move forward. Let's get going. Let's talk some story time, Robin.
Hooray, it's story time. Hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
All right. So a little bit of a solemn note here. So just thinking back, it's 9/11. Obviously, the Queen just passed, and I really am not going to make fun of the Queen. I promise. So questions. And so this is for both Kim and the chat as well as Robin. What were you doing when you learned that the Queen passed, and what were you doing when 9/11 hit? I remember vividly, just to start this off. So I was getting ready for work in the morning. Mm. I had, I think, CNN on, and they cut away to the Twin Towers, and I saw one of them was smoking.
Oh,
and
the Queen literally, first. Oh, sorry, 9/11 first. Okay.
Yeah, sorry, 9/11 first. Well, I mean, this is just from my perspective. So 9/11 first, I saw the second plane hit the tower. Mm-hmm. Just an absolutely gut-wrenching feeling watching that happen live. And just a feeling of helplessness, but also, it was oddly just this kind of call to action, after more so after the ensuing hours after, of just feeling just completely supportive of whatever the fuck we wanted to do with, you know, in terms of a response, I was just for it. Granted, in hindsight, may not have been all that great of a, you know, an idea, but, I remember that, and then, gosh, was it Thursday? Was it Thursday the Queen passed? This week, you have to, you know, apologies. It's been like my week has blended together. But it was very much a work morning for me. I caught the news on Twitter, and then of course I saw within our WhatsApp chat what was going on. So I can't say it was like a remarkable event, like I saw something happening live. But obviously, I'm sure, Robin, for you, things were a little different.
Well, Kim, you go first with the American perspective as far as 9/11 is concerned, and I'll do my bit then too, because
All right. Well, 9/11, believe it or not, I was babysitting. Well, I was supposed to be babysitting, but I had the day off, so I was sleeping in because I, you know, kind of like now, I don't get to do that very often. And all of a sudden, there was somebody banging at my door, and it was my friend Jimmy, and I didn't know what she was doing here because I was pretty sure I was supposed to watch her kids. But anyway, she come in and she says, well, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, you just woke me up. I was sleeping. It's my day off. And she says, then you haven't heard. And I said, no. And she flipped the TV on, and that's when the second plane hit.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I just kind of sat there in kind of shock, because here I am sleeping and enjoying my day off, and all this stuff is going down. And like everybody, that's when it kind of started. You sat up for hours watching TV and watching the news and watching everything after the news and, you know, for days, for weeks, you know, that was, you know, the TV, the only time the TV ever changed channels was when you were switching it over to somebody else doing the same thing. Yeah. And, you know.
You know, it's funny, and Robin, I'll let you talk in just a second. But I feel like that moment was a real turning point for feeling safe. Mm-hmm. In any kind of public environment, you know, whether it be at a stadium,
absolutely,
planes, and it has carried forward to this day. I still feel kind of some of those pings every once in a while, just like, okay.
Yeah. Anytime you see a big crowd in public.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. I had my own business back then. It was an IT company, and we had a server room. This is just as the internet, you know, was forming. You think 21 years ago, the internet was a heck of a lot basic. So we hosted websites, people's email, all that. And in the server room, we had a big TV with a PlayStation 2 connected up to it that we played Tekken at lunchtime, or when the guys were fed up programming. I was a good boss, and we let them go in. And when you want to have a break, have a break. We were Google ahead of Google. And we had a girl, my project manager was from California, and she lives out in that little island off the coast. What's that island? You had to get, you know, where Jaws was supposed to be filmed.
Oh, God. I don't
anyway, know. Well, she lived out there. We just happened to be working with some web development companies in New York at the time. It was about lunchtime for us, and the news came through. Very, very quickly, we were, you know, all internet as it was, and the TV was switched onto the TV channel in the server room. And again, like a lot of people, we seen live that second plane going into the tower. And it hit hard because if we had an American working for us, and it was just utter, you know, it was like, was that a rerun? Was that a, you know,
right?
And I think the reaction after the initial 5 minutes of shock was, shit, I got to phone my brother in London. I mean, fuck, this is it. You know, London's next. you know, what building in London's going to be hit, what building, and you know, where in Washington, where everywhere, you know, and then all came out. Thankfully, London didn't get hit.
Right.
But yeah, we watched that 24/7. I remember going home. Joshua was just 1 year old, and I remember waking up to the house and just to say, Judith, switch the telly on, you know, look at this. And pretty much life stopped that day for everything. And that week, to, you know, to the point of pure desperation, they're going to find people, they're going to find people. And then the horror and realization that more people died trying to find survivors or rushing in to help.
Right.
You know, it was just crazy. And then those moments of that eerie shot of that last girder sticking up from the rubble was just still heartbreaking. And I feel so privileged to have been earlier on this year to tour that site again. And, you know, I had it again, and the tears in my eyes. Again, there's one room and it has video running of a little, you know, in this sort of walk around room, there's a picture of everyone that had died and that they could track down and have photographs of. There was some that were unknown person, but there was a room in there that you could go in and sit with seats all around it. And it just ran constant videos of families talking about their loved ones, some photographs, all, you know, and it was just unbelievable. Anyway, so yeah, that was that, and the horrors of that will live on forever. Any of us real that quickly, are our age now,
those in the chat, absolutely share your experiences. We'll read them off in just a second. I want to let Robin finish his notes.
So as far as the Queen was concerned. So, yeah, we got heads up a little bit earlier that things were really, really bad. So about lunchtime, our time, in the House of Commons, the in government, there we had heard that the Queen was, what was it, getting medical assistance or medicals, under medical supervision was the thing that was released. And about 12:30, and it showed this, while the House of Commons was in question time, where the prime ministers, yeah, this brand new prime minister there, and there must have been a note or everybody's phones went, and then the realization that this just wasn't, she was just wasn't sick.
Right.
So I was driving home from my office then, so it must have been about 5:30 to 6 o'clock, and I was listening to a talk show radio channel. And they were talking all about this, and there the news came through, and the guy on the radio station, you hear him choking up, and they talked, because they were sort of expecting, they were talking all afternoon, and I was listening to it all afternoon.
Right.
And I just pulled off the freeway, dual carriageway, about 5 minutes from home, and they had like a moment's silence, and they played God Save the Queen. And I stopped the car and got out and stood to attention or stood beside the car. It felt like the right thing to do. It was like, I don't know, the national anthem for you guys, but it was there. And I teared my eye and came home. And we were watching it today and watching the coffin going from Aberdeen to Edinburgh and all of the footage. And it's been constantly on our TV here, because it is such a, I can't not lie, 9/11-esque, but it's never happened.
In a different way.
You know, 70, 80 years, and you have to be over 70 years old to remember anybody else as the head of the state or head of the country. So even though the kids here are going, yeah, well, why? Even Jasmine, why has she died? And she's old, and you know. So it's
interesting. Robin, it's a sad moment, but also I find a lot of like positive reflection on the Queen and what the woman that she was. There's a great video. I highly recommend checking it out. I think I retweeted it saying this is great on Twitter of a story. And I think it's her. I don't know the right term for the gentleman that is talking. I don't know if it's her. I don't think it's her husband. I believe it's maybe like her like main butler or something.
Okay.
But he was talking about a time where they were out in the park and they came across an American couple. And the queen, as the queen does, you know, she was just very cordial and just, you know, said, yeah, you know, oh, where are you guys from? They start talking about where they're from. They ask her where she's from, and she says, from London. And then they said to her, oh, have you ever seen the queen? And she's like, I have, you know, and they said, oh, my goodness. And the story is they ended up, you know, wanting to take a picture. And the butler was talking about the queen saying he had met her because the queen said she had never met the queen.
OK.
And he said, yes, I have met her before. She could be a little bit cantankerous. And the couple is like, oh, would you mind taking a picture with us? And they handed their camera to the queen to take a picture of him with her. Look, and eventually they got a picture with her. She was
very formal, but very, from what you can see of all the footage and what's come out now, there was a sparkle in her eye. You watched that, the Paddington Bear thing that she did just a few months ago was just beautiful. And there was some lovely, there's a cartoon painting sort of thing that went out with her walking off into the distance with holding Paddington Bear's hands and Paddington saying, it's okay, ma'am, you're okay, thank you. And just lovely, heartbreaking stuff. But there was that twinkle in her eye. You think about, you know, she'd done that thing with jumping out of the plane and a parachute for James Bond. You know, there's lots of stuff like that. A regret of mine is COVID, because as you know, 2.5 years, it's now 3 years ago,
right,
we were supposed to go to Queen's garden party in the summertime to meet the Queen, and that got called off because of COVID. So that regrets there. So fantastic person, renowned worldwide. Forget all the stuff about being a Republican and all, you know, all of the stuff about being anti the royals. Forget all that. She was a fabulous woman. I've seen friends of mine going, oh, that woman never went hungry. She never had to worry about clothes, but she helped thousands of charities and helped millions of people. And you know, what did you do? So so fabulous that she's touched so many people around the world. She was the queen. I know Denmark and other people, but she was the queen.
Real quickly before we move on, Kim, I know that I've seen a couple things popping up in the chat. Why don't we, one, give a shout out to the Shatters, and then two, just real quickly, let's go through some of those other reactions.
Alrighty. Let me roll up here a little bit because we've got a few things going on here. Got Hardly Dan in the chat. Lord's in the chat.
Hey.
Boof. DP Matthew. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Got quite a few there in the chat. So, that's nice already. It's jumping already and we just started. So, Boof said when 9/11 happened, he was in school during the attack. All the teachers were called in through the PA, and we had a few free periods as to let kids' parents call in case they wanted the kids to go back home. So,
yeah, kind of makes sense.
Right? CP Matthew says, I was doing training with my unit. A buddy of mine said a plane just hit the World Trade Center. I assumed a small plane, as had happened before. Got back from training and started prepping. There's another one here. Not a minute. Boof also says, as for the Queen, I called my dad to check up on him. I was about to hang up, and my phone lit up. We spoke for another 20-ish minutes while we read the news. Telling me, I was watching Twitter when it happened, so because I noticed it that morning, so I was kind of paying attention on Twitter, because I knew, you know, they would know right when it happened. So, yeah.
It is such an odd thing when you think, you know, like the Queen is dead, God save the King. It is such a weird situation of joy and for the new king. I think Charles will calm himself down, and by the looks of it he might be okay. He's very outspoken. If he doesn't like his mother, I think he'll be all right. If he does continues on as he has, he'll be a dick and not be liked. But if he can continue like his mother, being neutral and not sticking his nose in, he'll be accepted and fine. But it's such an odd thing that there's this moment of joy coming in a month or so whenever it will be, when he is crowned properly. He is king from the moment she's dead, a bit like the president dying but that will be a moment of joy and sorrow because he's there because of his mother dying. I know she was a very elderly woman and stuff like that there, but it's such a weird dichotomy of joy and sorrow all mixed together. So. Yeah, right. it's going to be a very interesting couple of weeks here. I know there's a
her the funeral is on not this Monday but next. It's a bank holiday here, not in the south of Ireland, the company I work for, but I'll be glued to the television for that. I'm sure I'll probably shed a tear because I'm a big softy.
You're
that
a softy,
way.
So. You're a Harry Potter softy. Kim, I know we had a couple others, so I want to make sure we get those in before we move on.
Yeah.
Let's see. Like CP Matthew says, the Queen reigned before there was a Soviet Union and long after there wasn't. Harley Dan says, I was privileged to meet the Queen when she opened the new sixth form center at my school.
Oh, very nice. Lucky, Dan. Excellent.
Yeah.
And then Boo says, a memorable story, I think, was when the Queen is mentioned, is when the news didn't want Snoop Dogg to enter, but the Queen stood up for him.
Hmm.
That's Snoop Dogg.
I'm assuming they didn't want Snoop Dogg to enter the country?
I assume.
Yeah.
So.
All I can think of. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Good stuff. So, and it's lovely. Some of the ex prime ministers and stuff now, because they every week, the prime minister of the UK has to go to the Queen, and report on the week's things. It's a privy. It's closed behind doors. It's not recorded. There's no notes taken on it. It's just the prime minister, whoever that may be, and the Queen. And she's been through so many of them. But there are some little stories. And again, they're very. They don't talk about it, but there's some nice little lovely stories coming out that, you know, John Major, ex-prime minister, you said, you know, it was supposed to be 40 minutes, but many a time it would be, you know, an hour and a half, you know, just she would just chat on about this, that, you know. Yes, she wanted to know the business and she was very well informed and took her role very, very seriously, but she just chatted. She was just a chatter. So,
By the way, I'm amazed. So I was just thinking about differences between our countries again. These are the times where you start to see some of these things pop up. You said the Queen went into a meeting, closed-door meeting with the Prime Minister. They talked and nothing was recorded. No notes were taken.
Yeah.
That would never happen in the U.S.
Right.
You know, that would be absolutely just like, no, you're hiding something.
Yeah, well, it struck me the other day that's probably the Prime Minister. The Queen is probably the only person the Prime Minister can have a honest chat with without worrying about it being leaked, because never, ever, ever did any of those conversations with Major or Churchill or any of what happened in those ever get leaked. That's probably the only person the Prime Minister can talk to in complete and utter faith and trust that he said, you know, can you imagine? I can't get on, I'm in trouble, you know, and what do I do? None of, you know, that's the only time that was a safe place for a Prime Minister. Anyway. Very sad, very happy for a future. Hopefully it's good and the country settles. There are some dicks, even people that I went to school with, just coming out with some horrible stuff. Even ours
there's always dicks
away.
In the world, Robin. You just have to look past them. Just look past them.
Really? How horrible you are.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Look past them.
Yeah. So, this new Trump prime minister we have, this woman, wow, what a baptism of fire she's having. You know, literally, she didn't have all of her party or her put together, her cabinet, as they call it here. She didn't have that all put together. She wasn't fully ratified as she'd been shaking the hand of the Queen. You know, you think on Tuesday, she shook hands with the new prime minister and had a smile and a twinkle in her eye. And then on Thursday she died. She must've had a little stroke or something like that there. That's what must've took her.
Hard to say. I mean, you know, she was 96.
Yeah. Yeah.
She earned her rest. I like to think of it that
Absolutely.
way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. The final point is,
yes.
And I think back to my own parents. I mean, she lasted a little bit longer, but her husband had passed away. About a year ago, and you've seen her in the church by herself, mourning with no one beside her because of COVID. And I thought to my parents, well, they only had 3 months or 4 months, and these people have been married for so long. And you kind of think that one, after the amount of time, one can't live without the other. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that it's a lovely thing too. Anyway. Okay. Yeah, so to people that have suffered today, and there are people within our community who are very, very close to 9/11, our hearts are with you. We feel that pain at some level. And to people of the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland, and the rest of the world and the Commonwealth, we feel it. We all feel it. So,
from the sadness, we gain.
We move on to the silliness.
Yeah, and the silliness, yes. We definitely will have a bunch of silliness. So let's get into some of the silliness. We'll start with Robin. Robin, yeah. It looks pretty damn well put together behind you.
Getting
I'm
there.
Just saying.
And I getting
think,
there.
I think so.
There was a big okay. So major changes in the man cave right now. If you're watching the video, you can see the back of me is very different again because there was a.
It's very open.
Yeah, the big bookcase has been moved back. I think I'll swing the camera around maybe a bit. There you can see. Oh no, that's the right way. So the big bookcase is now sort of over there with all the bits in it in behind me, mm-hmm. and there's another one of those to come. Which will go behind me again because I did like the enclosed space, and that was always kind of the idea that I had an enclosed space. So the race seat is there, just where my hand is now. The two big screens have been moved. It's came together nicely. I've got some nice new LED lights above where the pool table was, up in here, up in the seat. So these are multicolored lights here, there. So that's it's came together really, really well. Yeah, there's a few bits and pieces to come for the race. The rig is pretty much finished now. I got this fantastic thing. It's on the rig. It came from Germany. It was 3D printed, and it's only about 3 inches by 3 inches square, full of LEDs, and you put it onto the rig. It's a USB device, and it connects up with this piece of software called SimHub, and it talks to your racing software. So you have it sort of in the corner of your eye or down in your eye. I've got, and it shows what gear you're in, and it shows you visual, a little red barrier if somebody's to your left or to your right. So as you change gear, or if there's a yellow flag, it flashes. Class, little, really, really, really cool. You'd see in a racing car. I've now got the four screens up. I've got two Kindles left and right, which show extra data on the screens, which are also connected through SimHub as well. And I have another little 3D printed device on my way, which sits above the steering wheel, which will have another. It's actually going to have a phone, believe it or not.
Robin, I have an important question.
Yes.
Are you winning your races yet?
No. So, no. So, I have joined a thing called low fuel. I was going to talk about this in the gaming part of it. Yeah, it's Low Fuel Motorsport, LFM, and it's a league for people that are a bit more serious about it. But you have to get a license and all that stuff. So I'm because I was the same structure for Xbox is the same for PC. You have to have a safety rating before you can do so much. So I'm whizzing my way through all of that stuff. Today a cable arrived so I could connect up the new PC. I needed a 5-meter cable to get up to the amp and the bass bin, and I have two speakers in the racing sim as well, pointing at me. So that's got that hooked up today. So that's kind of cool. But yes, I'm working my way through that.
This is Robin. This is the rabbit hole.
Yeah, fully done it. Fully done it. So yes. So the next thing I'm beholden to go that big. The big bookcase is an IKEA. It's called a Calyx unit, and I missed one quite locally that was going for £50, and it's 140. It's not that dear, but I'm beholden not to want to go buy a brand new.
God bless IKEA. Yeah, they really have funded all of our man caves and hermit caves, if you will.
Yeah, so I'm just waiting for one to appear on Facebook Marketplace, and I'll get one for £40 or £50. I'm tired ass that way sometimes with. In here, and
which is odd. I mean,
Given.
So, okay. So yeah, it's came together really well. Interestingly, there's 5 cables plus 2 for the motherboard. Thank you, Dan. The 5 possible monitor connections can come out of the graphics card. So I've got 3 which are wrapped together, 3 screens, and then 1 up above, which is separate with data. But I've taken an extra long cable. That they used to use in the projector at the house, and it's now going to the 65-inch screen.
Okay.
And the idea is that I'll be able to use the really powerful PC to do some gaming proper on the big screen.
Which would make sense.
Yeah, with Steam Big Screen, is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's Big Screen Mode.
Big screen mode. So I've just connected that cable up last night. So yeah, it's kind of cool. You see the little Pixu above my head, the little little digital thing that's whizzing around there. So because it was hidden away. So yeah, it's
the Millennium Falcon, I believe, right now.
Yeah, yeah, it's cool. Yeah, so it's all really good. Well, yeah, it's come together nicely. There's a few little bits and pieces to get, but it's good. So this week for me,
we'll recap. The room is coming together nicely.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your racing rig more or less set up and in place.
Yeah.
And you're still not winning your races. Okay.
No.
We're good.
And I don't expect to either.
I'm just giving you shit, man.
I'm not. Yeah. Oh, what is it? Who was it? Was it Matt, that bastard? With all the gear and no idea. That would be about right. Yeah. I actually love the idea of the physical movement as well, but that's
that's a much deeper rabbit hole.
That's like truck simulator. So I have to admit, this week I worked from home for a day or so. Now, there was one day that I didn't.
Can we call that actually working?
Well, I was physically working.
Yeah.
But
right.
Not maybe. That's true. Yeah, I guess the definition of what the work was is probably important.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was answering calls and emails and bits and pieces. On Friday afternoon, I finished a bit earlier and done some more stuff. But there was a day that I really maybe shouldn't have been doing what I was doing. And do you know what? Now that it's starting to come together in a really nice way, I need time to actually enjoy it.
Well, so I mean,
anyway, this week might not happen because Judith is going to Venice on Wednesday morning in the early hours for a few days. Judith's going to Venice with her two sisters and a cousin, girlie, a few days away. And a cabana boy, probably. Yes. So they're going to Venice to do the gondola stuff and all that.
So you're going to be daddy daycare.
Friggin' right. And I have got a new foster kid, Jasmine, who is the flipping whirlwind of
a four-year-old,
homeworks, everybody, multiple school drops, and trying to do work all at once. Yes, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Anyway.
Yeah, we'll need a bottle count after the week is done.
Bye. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see how we go. Anyway, I've talked enough. What about you guys?
Kim, talk to me. You've got this foreign thing I've never heard of. It's called rain.
Oh,
believe it or not, last night I didn't do any rain dance, so maybe somebody else did it for me. But yeah, we've got more than an inch of rain. Of course, as dry as it is around here.
Yeah, we've had that in the last hour.
Like no time flat. So, but it's nice and it's cooled it off around here. So the air conditioner's been turned off and the windows are open and. But nice. Hopefully we get some more of it because my pond has gotten so low it's almost ridiculous. You know, I could probably
don't want to make a comment about your pond.
Yeah, I know. But it was nice last night. It was weird because I stood at the door and I watched it rain like some little idiot or something. But it's just like we haven't seen good rain in God, what's it been? At least a couple months. So yeah. I thought Dad was actually going to mow the yard today because it rained, but I think he's giving the grass a reprieve. So at least for now, he's going to let it enjoy the rain that we got last night before it decides to cut it off again. So
it is the weather has taken a turn for the nicer on our end as well. Still no rain, mind you, but we are out of the hundreds. Today we'll top out at just at like 90 degrees. And then next week, it's going to be down into the mid-80s for the high for the rest of the week. So I'm very excited. Last night, I got a little quiet time for myself. So my big plan, because Cindy was down at her brother's house still trying to take care of stuff. And so I had our sitter come. I totally forgot he was coming. So knock on the door. I'm like, oh, shit. So I'm like in scramble mode. I'm like, well, fuck it. I'll go to the gym. So I have spent more time at the gym than anything this past weekend. But I went to the gym and then I was like, I'll go grab dinner after. And I walked out of the gym and it was just absolutely one of those gorgeous nights where you walk out and it's just perfect. And I'm like, I need to find a place that has a nice patio so I can just eat something, have a couple of drinks and just chill. So I found a restaurant called University of Beer. They've got a great little patio setting. Had a really awesome Korean skirt steak with shrimp and rice. And the minute I sat down, I regretted it because I got bit by a mosquito two different times. Motherfucker.
Yeah, well, I lit the wood burning stove today because it was so fucking cold.
Ah, sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I feel
it's funny. Sorry, yesterday we were at a fostering event, yearly thing, and Charlie won an award for being there for sharing his life with all these foster kids for the whole length of his lifetime, which was nice for him to be recognized. So that was good too.
Oh, that is very nice.
Yeah, but it's bloody cold here and wet. There's so much rain here at the moment. It's unbelievable. Well, maybe
that's normal. Do you want to go back to the giant heat wave you had?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Because you were crying.
If it's a summer, like a light spring day to you here.
No, no, no. I'm talking about the actual heat wave you guys went through, where like it was getting up into like the plus, like 35 plus
for about 4 days.
Yeah, but do you want that again?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Come on down, Robin. Come visit me. Yeah, come visit me.
My kind of people.
All right. Let's see. Kim, what is this about Farming Simulator 19? I'm not sure what I'm seeing here.
This game, right? And here a while back, well, many months ago, it was on Game Pass, remember? So right, I bought it, and not thinking about it at the time, I bought it and I installed it on my account because Anthony wanted it. Well, that was kind of a dumbass move because I should have put it on Anthony's account because now whenever he fires it up, it kicks me off of my Xbox and says, oh, well, you're playing in the living room. And I'm like, well, no, I'm not. So then I go and start mine up again. Well, it kicks him off because I'm obviously in here playing in my Xbox. So I got him the disc version for him to take it home. Well, of course, that doesn't help here. So yesterday we did the whole shit again where he's firing up Farming Simulator 19. It's kicking me off and then it's kicking him off, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I went and I Googled it. I tried to find a digital code for cheap. Couldn't find one anywhere. I looked on Xbox. They wanted $30 for it. I'm like, you know what? If it'll solve this fucking headache, fuck it. I'll spend another $30 on it. And I will get him his copy on his account so it'll quit booting me off my game. So I did that yesterday. So I've now officially bought Tony 3 copies of Farming Simulator 19, and I never want to see that game again.
Does this mean we're getting Farming Simulator on Game Pass now?
Well, we've got 20
it's there?
On there now. So,
oh, okay.
So
I had a downloaded for 19, the.
And not, you know, 19 yeah. started on Game Pass. That's how I knew about it. So that's how Anthony found it the first time was through Game Pass.
Okay.
So yeah, I officially bought Farming Simulator, a game that I don't even like. I bought it 3 times now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you there, Kim. That's a commitment to that's a commitment to Anthony right there.
That's life.
I love
Last question for you, Kim. Kids Part 2.
Yeah. Well, you know, last week I said that, you know, last podcast I said that this last week was going to be my free week, that the kids were all going to start Head Start school, whatever, and I was going to have my days back. That didn't quite happen because Owen's Head Start, they are officially switching to going full days instead of half days, right? Which is good. But last week, instead of going the full day, they wanted to keep them in half days last week so they could acclimate to getting used to full days, which made no fucking sense to me whatsoever. Well, my sister works from 7 in the morning to 7 at night at the hospital. Well, Owen getting out at noon wouldn't work for her because she'd have to go pick him up and then I'd probably bring him back down here so I can watch him for the rest of the day while she goes back to work. So I got the phone call last week that, well, you're going to have him at least one more week because of what Head Start is doing. And I'm like, which is hilarious because a little backstory. When Owen was on the small kid's side, he was going till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So one more hour for him wouldn't have been any big deal at all. Whatever. So, yeah, and then poor little Owen, more on that story. Last week, she took him for a physical because of the hospital daycare and Head Start, he needs a physical. Well, he's got a couple of bumps on the back of his neck, which are swollen lymph nodes, and he's had them for a while, and they haven't went down, so the doctor's concerned, so he has to have an ultrasound. And depending on what the ultrasound finds out, he's going to need them removed because they're worried about cancer.
Right.
So there's that. Yeah, so on top of all that, the kid wants a drink every 5 minutes. It doesn't matter if you filled his cup up and he drank it and he set it down and run off. He wants another drink.
Me too!
Right? Right. So anyway, she was worried that he might be diabetic. So, of course, that meant we had to check his blood sugar twice a day.
I could be alcoholic.
Right? And he's 3 years old.
Oh, bless him.
And so you can imagine what it was like to tell the poor kid that I had to jab him in the finger and get blood. And, yeah.
I know.
Yeah, but we took his blood sugar last week. And the first day it was a little high, but they wonder, but Emily had made the comment. She wonders if maybe he didn't sneak some caramel corn or something in before he got to my house his blood sugar because it was high. Because every day after that, his blood sugar's been normal. So hopefully he's not diabetic. Because
I would like to think he will not be.
My niece Amy, who had been out in America at like a Camp America type thing over the summer, arrived back. They're the one that lost all her luggage. Yeah. She arrived back day before yesterday. So we all went round for cake last night. Anyway, there was a story. So my sister-in-law also fosters, and they have a kid there who's about 9 years old. And he has been, over the last little while, completely hyper, on the ceiling, completely like, wow, sugar rush. And they couldn't really understand why until Philip woke up one night at 4 a.m. and he was down in the kitchen devouring like 3 Mars bars and Twixes and 5,000 calories.
Yeah.
And
that'll do it.
They went back on their camera that they have, little security camera.
Right.
And he'd been doing this for several months, going in at 4 and 5 in the morning and loading up completely. And they caught him. And then at the morning, he went, "Where's my breakfast?" So this is why. So he was, about 5,000 calories before breakfast in the morning. So
that sounds like Anthony, and they've done that a couple of times. Because my sister.
So maybe it's that. Maybe there's a bit of that going on. Yeah.
I hope so.
Hope so.
Man. No, absolutely. All right, I'm going to shift gears on you guys. A couple of entertainment things.
Okay.
I have continued watching The Ring of Power.
Didn't get through the first episode.
Really?
Nope.
The first episode was a little bit slow. I'm not going to lie. It's a lot of setup, but I'm enjoying it. Episodes 2 and 3 done. It does have some pacing issues from time to time. But I think overall I'm engaged enough. I like what I'm seeing.
Okay.
I'm going to stick with it. So it's still on a recommend from my perspective.
Okay.
I think the acting is good. The visuals all are spot on. They did not spare any budget for this movie. I feel like they have done it right so far.
Okay.
I also started a new series. I think it's on Netflix called The Imperfects. And it when you see it, it's spelled backwards, I think, on the title screen. That's why I wrote it that way in our show notes.
Oh, I was going to say, that's what the double of letters was. Gotcha.
Yeah, The Imperfects. And
that was some sort of code.
Yeah, it's hard to explain. It's kind of one of those, I want to almost call it like a combination of The Mod Squad, a bit of Frankenstein's Monster, and Scooby-Doo.
Okay.
That's a hell of a combo right there.
Okay.
I know. Well, I mean, the basic premise is there's 3 main characters so far. There may be others that you'll encounter as you go through it. But to start off, there's 3 main characters. They all have been being given this medication, and it turns out this medication is basically a science experiment being conducted on them that they didn't know about, and it's actually transforming their bodies, and the side effects vary from person to person. And some people, it's been very bad, drastic, kind of like killing them side effects. Others, it's giving them different powers. And it's kind of like the not just scientific, but like the horror movies. So like one kid has a lycanthropy side effect. One woman has, they call it a succubus, but she has like overactive pheromones. So everybody becomes instantly attracted to her. Another one of the characters has incredible like high pitched or incredible like hearing, to the point where she hears everything. Yes,
like
Judith.
My wife.
Judith Powers.
Yep.
A little bit like The Boys, but not quite. And I will just say this, not as I don't think as good quality as The Boys. I still think The Boys is like the standard. But it's been entertaining enough. And so they're trying to find this doctor that did this to them to have him reverse it. there's been some really kind of funny situations of them running into other persons that have powers, that kind of thing. So it has a little bit of that whodunit. And of course, they're like, you know, squatting up, and they're now starting to realize their powers and how they could use them together to kind of solve problems, that kind of thing. So,
okay,
good stuff so far. And finally, football is back. Thank God. I am ecstatic. NFL football is here.
Is it better than Madden, Greg?
It is better than Madden. Yes, I will say that. We can concur on that. I will just say the first game of the season, Buffalo and the Rams, wow, what a disappointment on many levels. Okay. Only because I thought it was going to be a much more competitive game, and the Rams were just annihilated.
Yeah, they were obliterated.
The Buffalo Bills took them to the shed and beat the shit out of them. But the big question for me is that really the Bills being that good, or was it just the Rams being that bad to start the season? So we'll see. We'll see.
Weird.
Yeah. Right. But football back. Yay. And on that note, let's go to some game time.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go to some game time. Let's go to the mouse. Goes over there.
Yep.
Said if you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right.
God.
That's so good. When did we hire a mouse?
Well, okay. Maybe it's Robin's personal mouse.
I suppose we can cover real quickly, Kim, the games that we pay for, that we get for free.
I want to talk about something here.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm. So I want to talk about Humble Bundle. Not that I'm being all PC and all PC.
Oh,
PC.
Yeah, you are.
But in the WhatsApp chat, we've been pointed out a few times that there was two Humble Bundles going around at the moment. Humble Bundle are PC games, books, and all that sort of stuff. And there's one called 2K Mega Hits. And in the 2K Mega Hits, I bought it and I paid about $20 for it. And it has everything from the complete XCOM collection, all of Borderlands, Civ, the full Bioshock collection, Mafia, a whole lot, everything to do with Railroad Tycoons, 3D games, Duke Nukem, Battlegrounds, Civ, Golf, all the golf games, loads of RTS stuff. So that's for next to nothing. Yeah. And the other one is it's for the Starlight Children's Foundation. And, you know, I just had to buy this. It has all the Star Wars Force Unleashed stuff, all the Star Wars Complete Saga, Star Wars 3, all the Pinball Effects Marvel and Star Wars tables, all of them, Grim Fandango, Star Wars The Knights of the Old Republic, that whole big thing. It also has things like Aliens versus Predator. But what sold me, and I paid $10 for this probably, was Aliens Colonial Marines.
Yeah, $10.
The complete thing. And you see what it says here? 58% positive on Steam.
58% positive.
Isn't that fucking awesome? It's
that
over.
Says it all
not,
right there.
Yeah, it's over 50%.
It's a D.
It's there.
But for that.
Yeah. So, hey, Humble Bundle, by the way, is a fantastic way to get games like stockpiled for your Steam
deck. Yeah. And which I've, we'll get to that in a little while. So I've been doing this. Not that I'm going to become apart from my racing sim stuff, become a big PC gamer. Yeah. But we'll get to that in a little while. But yeah, the Humble Bundle, those are two fabulous packs for very, very little money. So, and again, the Starlight one is supporting the Children's Foundation.
Yeah, so that's good cause.
Yeah. So unlike some of the hospitals I supported for Extra Life. But anyway, well, I'm not going to go into that.
That's hurtful. All right, Kim, go forward.
Alrighty, your games with gold for September are Gods Will Fall, Gods Will Fall, available now to the end of the month, which I'm actually kind of interested in trying that, even though reviews for it suck, and it's free, so why the hell not? Double Kick Heroes, which is available the 16th through October 15th, Thrillville, which is available now through the 15th, and Portal 2, which is available 16th through the 30th.
Mm. I fancy playing Portal 2 again.
It's a good game.
I think there's something weird, even with that Humble Bundle stuff. And I think you touched on it a few weeks ago on a podcast that I wasn't on, and it was fabulous. About rediscovering older games and finding they're absolutely fantastic. I think it was last week you were talking about Mad Max And I know it goes on for too long and stuff like that there. But it's discovery. It doesn't matter now playing the latest and greatest. It is nice to do that now and again. But there's so much choice out there with quality games over the last 5 years. Graphically look fantastic that you can dip into for next to nothing. It is kind of cool. We're spoiled for choice.
There you go. PlayStation Plus for September, we have Grand Blue Fantasy Versus for the PS4, Need for Speed Heat for the PS4, and Tellum for PS5.
Mm. Yeah. What's that smirk on your face for, DeLacy?
I'm just reading CPM, Matthew. Or no, I hate you right now. just reading some of the chat.
Railroad raccoons. Yes.
Railroad raccoons, yes.
Well, I thought it sounded good. Holy shit, my computer's like going a little wacky right now. Sorry about that. It's just like all over the fucking
place. Nah, your PC's class. It's like your PC could land people on the moon in 1969. Unfortunately, Pete's PC is like the Babbage engine. It can add like three numbers together and then it quits. Yeah.
Speaking of landing on the moon, not to totally derail this segment, but there was a video of the outtakes of them trying to film them, the first attempts at walking on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
It is hysterically funny.
Oh,
because they're in the weightless environment. They're just struggling. They're like falling on their faces constantly. It's pretty comical.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Your Amazon Prime games for September. We have Assassin's Creed Origins. Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor, Game of the Year Edition, Football Manager 2022, The Dig, Defend the Rook, which is a Pete game, I think we've all decided, The Revolution, Castle on the Coast, and Word of Law, Death Mask Lecter's Edition.
Now, I'm just flicking through, and it's not in the news, but I did last night watch a Ubisoft presentation that was live. And it's all about Assassin's Creed, and that's what put it in my mind there, the 15-year anniversary of Assassin's Creed. And Danny Diamond was there sort of hosting it. Yes, it was sort of staged around the sofa. Yes, they did talk about dance, stupid stuff and things like that. But they were more or less celebrating the 15 years of Assassin's Creed and announcing the new Assassin's Creed, which is called, is it Mirage, I believe it's called?
I missed this, yes. Okay.
Yeah. Really good, and they say they've got a documentary out now about the making and the history of Assassin's Creed. Must watch that and track it down. And they also have a new fully game in China coming out for phones and tablets and stuff like that there, which they say is very, very good too. And they're working on lots of good stuff. But that was a very, very interesting watch. The Ubisoft, I don't know what they called it, but the Ubisoft Forward.
Yeah, there was also the Disney reveal. I caught part of that. I did not, again, this is not in the news, ironically, but there wasn't much that came out of it. They have a co-op Marvel game coming. Okay. It looks like it's Captain America, Black Panther, and two other people set in World War II. It may be a four-player co-op thing. It may more not the be. Same. They didn't really show anything. So that was the big one out of it all. So anyway.
All right.
Continue on, Kim.
Your Stadia Pro games for September. Yeah, Stadia is still a thing, apparently. We have Tri-Six Infinite, Yars Recharge, Spiritfarer, Overcooked, All You Can Eat, and PJ Masks, Heroes of the Night. And your Epic Game Store, I don't know what they are. We haven't updated them yet because the ones that are listed on here were over the 8. So.
Well, in that case, then we're done.
Yes.
Okay, let's see, where to start? I'll start, real simple. First game played, I've been playing a shit ton of Phoenix Point. Again, this is just scratching that XCOM itch for me. I can't take medication for it, so I have to play this game. this game has so many fucking layers to it. It's insane. I will just say this. It is a deeper game than XCOM 2. And I thought XCOM 2 was really kind of the pinnacle of having a lot of kind of behind the scene, things that you had to manage. Phoenix Point is borderline too much. There is so much stuff going on in this game. It just feels like you are constantly just juggling. And much like the original XCOM, you always feel like you are, even though you're making progress, you feel like you are losing ground continuously. But I'm very much enjoying it. Really good stuff. a couple aggravating things. I've discovered so there are these missions that you can go on where you're basically you're collecting scavenging for loot, and when you land, basically there's going to be continuous waves of enemies coming at you until you leave the map, and so it can be totally challenging because you're always outgunned. So one of the things I discovered was I could basically load a vehicle and then put four squad members with my vehicle and land that. And then what I do once I land is I just pile everybody into the vehicle, and the vehicle has, you know, a lot of armor, so it can take a lot of heavy shots. And so I just drive the vehicle around. I pull right up to the crates that I'm trying to scavenge loot from. And I'll just pop out one of my characters to open up the loot box, pull the stuff out of it, and then jump back in the vehicle. I've discovered this is also a good tactic for trying to kill certain things. I literally will have them jump out of the vehicle, take a shot, jump back in the vehicle. The next person jumps out of the vehicle, takes a shot, jumps back in the vehicle. It's a bit of a grind, a bit of a process, but it's proven to be an effective tactic so far. We'll see if it lasts. But yeah, Phoenix Point, very much enjoying it. Highly recommend. If you love XCOM games, this is a good game to check out. Just be prepared because it is deeper. And it's made from the original makers of XCOM. So it makes sense that it is following that formula to a T, but actually building on it a lot. And I'll also say, if you do get it, go for the complete edition. It's been out for a while now, so the original game has a bunch of DLC that's been added to it. So they have kind of that ultimate edition that includes all the DLC. Buy that, you'll be much happier for it. Okay, Robin, talk to me. Sniper Elite.
Yeah, let's talk Sniper Elite 4. So on Monday evening of this week, I was away on business. And it's the first time that the Steam Deck has came with me. I pulled myself away from the jacuzzi in my room and my suite. And I did get into the suite and stick my head down in the lovely big chaise lounge and went to sleep for a little while. But I picked myself up and I thought, oh, I'm too tired. And no, I went, oh, okay, I'm going to take the Steam Deck out. I'm going to play. So I fired up Sniper Elite 4. I've never played a Sniper Elite game ever. It never really appealed to me. The whole sniping thing seemed quite slow and quite boring. But I played for probably 2 hours or so on the deck and played the complete first chapter of this game, where you go into you're a sniper, you're dropped onto in World War II, you get dropped onto this island, and you have to go around and kill sort of 4 or 5 Nazi generals.
High-value targets.
Yeah. But on your way around, you take out other guys. Now, I'm watching the video here, and he's taking pistols and other stuff out. And as I was working my way through, like an hour in, I realized I could set trip wires and booby traps. And
right.
Yeah. So, yes, the thing that they talk about with Sniper Elite is it's like the gruesome deaths, like the cock shot, and there's a bit of that, and you know, you shoot them through the eye and you see the skull, and that's okay, but it doesn't really add to the game. It's a nice little feature, but I suppose it's the playability of the Steam Deck in my hotel room. They're thoroughly engaged. Yes, the text is a little bit small for my old eyes, but the game itself was fab. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm going to keep it for my Steam Deck when I go away. The game itself is good fun. The controls work really well with the Steam Deck. The Sniper Elite was a great game. It looks good. It played really well. I will say about the Steam Deck, it is an energy hog. So with a full charge, like an hour and a half in, I had to stick in a USB cable into it to continue, because it got down to 10%. I went, "You're what?" But yeah, but you say like streaming is not as intensive. But you know what? If you were thinking about taking this on a long flight with you, this would be having a long game session on a plane.
Yeah, you have to really be careful. So just a couple things on the power side of it, Robin. And we can talk about this. And I know Harley Dan's in the chat, so he might have some thoughts too. One, if you are taking it on a long trip, absolutely bring some like decent portable power supplies that you could just plug in and feed it. And I would say do that before it gets down below like 30%. Because it will eat through battery, especially if you're playing something graphically intensive. One of the newer games, I've noticed it tends to chug. Also, you have to be careful with the USB source that you use, or the power source that you use, I should say, because you know, it takes USB-C, and you can plug USB-C into almost anything and usually use it as some kind of power generator. But depending upon what you're plugging into, it may not have the voltage needed, because apparently that USB plug adapter is pretty high, like a high rated.
So I mean, it's like my phone, my Samsung phone. It's weird. When I plug it into standard USB, it goes doot-doot for standard charging, but it goes doot-doot when it's a high power charger, and it charges unbelievably fast. So you need that high thing. So I had my sockets in the house. In the kitchen, I have USB ports in them and the plugs, outlets, and one of them is a lower one and one is a high speed one as well. So, I get that. But yeah, you know what? Fabulous little device, really that's cool, great. And I played this game really well. So it's going to be fitting the bill perfectly for my travels. Perfect. So,
good. Kim. You have been chugging along with Immortals Fenyx Rising, I see.
Oh, yeah. To quote you, I've been playing a shitload of this game. It's kind of knocked everything else off the radar at the moment. I don't know why. I think it's partially because I bought it, like, way back when, and I'd kind of fiddled with, oh, I should play that, because I bought it, and then it's Game Pass. I'm like, okay. You know, I really ought to give it a shot, because it's on Game Pass. And I've stuck quite a few hours into this thing so far. It's still really good.
It looks quite Diablo-esque.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm right now working on opening up the entire map because, you know, most of the map is clouded over, I guess.
Right.
Shrouded in mystery. And
Ubisoft mechanic, you have to get up to a high place, you have to scan around and look, and it opens up the map.
Right, exactly. So I've been doing that the last couple of days, getting on all the little god statues and looking and opening everything up. So I kind of know how everything sits. And I'm getting along with it. I've found the hall, or was it the Hall of the Gods? And I've upped my stamina and my health, and I've made my weapons a little bit stronger and my armor and all that stuff. So that helps, because for a while there, the Minotaurs were kicking my ass like something else. And the Cyclopses. But now that I've kind of upped things, that helps. I mean, they're not kicking my ass so bad. As a matter of fact, I've yet to die in this game, believe it or not.
Okay.
Yeah, which is odd to me, because normally that's one of the first things I do is I die.
Now, have you had to use the tactic of run away, run away, run away?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I have, because there's a big Minotaur by, I can't remember which Greek god it is. But anyway, it's like purple and it's like a really big Minotaur, and yeah, it kicked my ass. It didn't kill me, because I'm like, you know what? No, because I was making hits with it, and I couldn't take his health bar down, like, at all.
So like, I feel like in a lot of these open-world games, especially as I think about, like, Elden Ring, I feel like oftentimes, like, we as gamers forget that is a viable tactic.
Right. I don't know.
Run away and fight another day.
Yeah, I can come back later when I've got maybe better stuff, or I've, you know, whatever. I've jacked my stamina up, or whatever. I can come back and try again. But what is nice with this game is when you level up weapons, no matter how many bows or swords or whatever you've got, it levels them all up. Not just the one that you're packing. It apparently levels them all up. So that's nice, because usually, you know, some games are, you know, you level one up and then you've got to level the rest of them up if you want to use them or whatever. Not with this one. It's more like a category. Like, you've got your swords, you've got your axes, you've got your bow. It's more of a category than just the, you know, individual weapon, which is nice. So yeah, Anthony's been playing this too at about the same time. And he's not quite as far as I am, because he forgets he needs to pick up, like, the pomegranates and the flowers and all that stuff, because it helps, you know, make potions and whatnot. So he gets a little aggravated. And I'm like, just pick up everything. if you see it there and it glows and it lets you pick it up, pick up everything, because that's the only way you're going to be able to upgrade everything. Plus,
okay, I just want to say this. I kind of hate that mechanic.
I know.
It's back like Skyrim was that way.
Right.
Everything you came across, you had to pick up, and it kind of slows the gameplay down because you start seeing all these bushes, and you're like, oh, I know there's stuff in there. I should go pick that up.
Yeah.
And then you spend like a half hour fucking roaming around bushes, picking up fruit.
Right.
So I kind of wish they could. Not, yeah, I want better mechanics than that. I mean, I get it. And it's popular. It's a popular mechanic.
But yeah, well, they've got a skill, I guess you call it, where if you come on like a cluster of like the pomegranates or whatever, as long as you click on one, you can usually click them. You can pick them all up now. So it's not so tedious. You don't have to go to from one plant to the other and individually click on the Y button to pick it up. Now you can just click on one and it picks them all up. Which, admittedly, yeah, it's still kind of a pain in the ass, but I guess I'm used to it because I play enough of these, and so you kind of develop a hoarding kind of mindset
to
it, because you're like, well, if I don't pick that up, you know, am I going to need that later? I mean, you know.
So here's my compromise.
Right.
Fine if we have that mechanic, but the moment I put it into my inventory, convert it into whatever, like basic building block. And then I could just use one basic building block to use for whatever I want, instead of all these formulas of like, you need five of this and three of that and two of this.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, you don't have the one magic thing that's up on the fucking mountain up top that you will never get to.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I had one boss battle for Ares's essence, I guess it was. And I went in and it was one of like, it looked like one of those vaults, like what you have to do in the Rift. I don't know if you've done any of those yet or not. No. And you can see all the treasure chests along the way. And, of course, they're up in high places you have to try to get to. And I'm like, well, after I get done defeating the big bad, I'll come back and I'll do all these. Well, no, that didn't quite happen, because as soon as I defeated him and picked it up, went to pick up his essence, they shot me out of the rift, and then they closed the rift down, like the rocks came down and it closed it all up. So I couldn't even go back in there and open up any treasure chests or anything. So my first thought was, well, God, I hope there wasn't anything important in any of those, because I couldn't go back to do them, so that one kind of sucked. But whatever, I don't care. I'm getting along with it really well, like I said. And Ares, the god of war, is a chicken in this game, which is kind of funny. Because if you know your Greek mythology and all that, you know who Ares is, and it's hilarious. They put him
definitely not a chicken.
Right.
By the way, I'm really happy Robin will not... He'll have to go through and search this stuff for the stuff that we said about him while he was gone.
That's good. I know.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm used to it.
Robin, what is this automobilista stuff? This is not a set of course.
Lasagna?
Yeah. Why do you constantly pick out games that are hard to say?
Because I enjoy this for yourself. So okay. I have fun with your pronunciations. It's actually kind of cool. So, you know, what can you do? This is just what I have to say. And I like to...
This is Robin's best stalling tactic ever of trying to play a video.
Okay, so Automobilista 2 had a major update. It's another driving game. And it's been out for a few years. And the difference between this and Assetto Corsa is only GT3 and GT4 sort of saloon cars, where Automobilista is pretty much everything from... Again, think Gran Turismo and stuff like that there. So that's all the stuff. Right. But it had a major update over the last couple of weeks, and people were raving that it made a massive difference to the game itself as far as the physics and handling and stuff like that there. So I thought, what the heck? Away I go. And I stuck it on straight away and put on some go-karts. So they have go-karts. And wow, that was so much fun. But they have everything. So from GT3 cars to Formula One cars to trucks to standard cars. And so I thought I'd give it a whiz. And it's not going to replace ACC, but I'll have a good crack with this too. A bit of fun. And I'm also want something that the kids can play that won't affect my safety rating in Assetto Corsa. So that's part of it as well. It was just another driving game. Now, it did, funny enough, pop up on Steam that I could buy Euro Truck Simulator for £4.16 through the week. And
real quickly, just I was struggling. I was trying to remember what other racing game had carts. It was Project Cars.
Project Cars.
Yeah. I hated the carts.
That was horrible.
Project Cars. Yes.
Yeah, and it just didn't handle like a cart. Well, this here handled like a cart.
Okay.
So it felt cart-like. So that was kind of cool. So there's a big variety. Tracks looks good, plays well. So it's getting a lot of love in the community of racing people at the moment. But it's somewhere where you can dip in and out. I don't think it'll be a big thing for me. But anyway, it's fun.
You really bought this for your kids.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly. So that they didn't damage my safety rating in a set of courses. Isn't that sad? Yeah, you know, the kids will come out here and they play all the time and they're playing. See, they're still on Minecraft and that stupid thing with the bus, which is above my head now. The bus.
Fortnite.
Yeah, so they're in
I've heard Fortnite FIFA. No build mode is pretty damn fun.
Yeah. So that's the bus.
Before you go on, I'll just segue real quickly in the other game that I played, because I did play some Halo. I won't go into that. We continue our weekly Halo adventures, but I did get some PUBG in with Mr. Mark Wright.
Wow! Oh,
and so we played back-to-back days. That was even crazier. So we played on Thursday and on Friday. Friday and Saturday. And beyond that, he admitted to playing Fortnite no build mode, and he liked it.
Wow. God.
He's changed.
Yeah. He has very much changed. I think ever since he joined the Communist Party, he's definitely been a little different.
That'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Comrade Mark.
Comrade Mark. I think it sticks. All right, Robin, continue on.
Yeah. What about? That's it.
Oh,
I played lots of ACC. I mentioned earlier on that I joined this low-fuel motorsports league type thing, and I'm going to work my way through that. And again, as I mentioned earlier on, the Humble Bundle thing is mainly for my Steam Dicking. Yes, I am going to experiment with a big screen here, but I just can't see it. My time is so limited. It's mostly racing stuff I'm doing, but when I'm away, I'll be playing other stuff. So I kind of think that's the way it's going to work out.
Yeah, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. The Steam Deck on a big screen, the Steam Deck, while it's powerful, is not super powerful. So,
no, I don't mean that. I mean the powerful PC on the big screen here.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Because a lot of people are talking about, they love putting their Steam Deck on the big screen. I'm like, it defeats the purpose. And why not just put your dick on, you know, a PC and then put it up on screen?
I see on the big screen here, I imagine I will have to play, I'm going to try Aliens Colonial Marines. I really am. On a PC with every graphic switched to like epic, and you know, and it'll look fantastic. And the voice.
You will relive the horror of that game. Yes.
I have to stream it. I mean, either yes, I'm going to love it still.
I want to know.
Else I'm gonna,
you better tell me when you're going to stream that, because I will be in the comments. Yeah. You might even have to include me in like a live chat.
I mean, I look at the stuff that came with that Humble Bundle. There's like 10 different things it comes with.
But the one thing that you want to play is the worst out of all.
Worst game in the world. No.
Yeah. Kim, real fast as we finish things out. Flynn, Son of Crimson.
Yeah, it's on Game Pass till the 15th, and it was one of those because there's a list of games where the Artful Escape was that are leaving on the 15th, and this is one of them. And I thought, well, okay, I'll give them a check because they are leaving. Maybe there's something in there I'll like. And apparently, these don't take very long to finish, so I thought, well, maybe I can rack up a couple of Victory Achieved in there too. This one is a pixel platformer. It's definitely like a pixel art style. It's a little boy and his dog. Which I assume it's a little boy because the way those are, they look like they're kids. It's a little
don't
boy
assume
dog.
His gender.
I know, right? Well, he is a boy.
That's how we're going to win the war.
No. He is the son of Crimson, so he's probably a guy. Anyway, it's a boy and his dog, and they go through the woods with their little wooden practice sword. and they kill things like plant. Well, like the Mario plants.
Wait, he's killing things with a wooden sword?
Yeah, I know. I couldn't figure that one out either.
But, okay, it's yeah. like mutilating him then, because that's like beating him with a bat, basically. Right,
exactly. Okay. And apparently, there's some sort of nightmarish thing that eventually he's gonna have to meet up with, which I don't know because I only played this for like half an hour, and it is, you know, it is a I think it's a Humble Bundle game.
Oh.
Because I think they published it or whatever. Okay. And it seems like it'd be a good game, and I may turn around and buy it and add it to my pile of shame to come back to at some point, because it's only like a 6-hour game or something. So I don't know. It was pretty good for what I played. It's no Phoenix Rising by any stretch, but it of the pixel games that I play, but yeah, I'm not fine. A gigantic fan of. It's not bad.
You know what? One of these days, and maybe this is something we like put it out a few weeks to prepare for it.
Right.
I kind of want us to take inventory of all the games we actually own. Oh, what's dear. In our library, whether it's digital or physical? And, no, and for me, it's all digital at this point.
I also it want would be to, scary. To pick a game and play it. I remember years ago when there was the crappy games on Xbox? What was the crappy games that you made in your bedroom and you put them on? And they used to review them on Veteran Gamers. It was like, anyway, we should pick a game like this game here. All of us have to try and play every week. So
So we could make that commitment. Maybe we try and make that commitment to something.
Pick a game. This is the game we're going to try this week.
Maybe a Game Pass pick.
Yeah, and something then we just like
give
that.
A
yeah.
review. Okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah, anyway.
Okay, I like that one.
Yeah, okay.
I like it.
Cool.
All right, well, that's it for
the
games. So let's do this.
All right, now everybody get set. Get away from the windows.
Here is the fucking news.
It's time for
shit.
It's,
yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know it's, what? Oh, too bad.
You're a little too premature there, Robin.
Let's go, quiz time. Brandon.
I've lost kids jumping on my lap.
Okay. Here we go. I have a little buy it, fund it, kill it. Guess a number between 1 and 10, Robin.
11.
This is why we will win the war. Try again.
7.
Kim.
4.
Kim goes first, Robin second. Okay. Kim.
I fucking lose every way.
You might be winning in this one, Robin. You never know. Kim, football is upon us.
Uh-huh.
And Kim, you have lucked into ownership of the Kansas City Chiefs.
God, here we go.
And you are now the owner and general manager. And you have the sole responsibility of moving the franchise forward. There are three individuals whose contracts are in front of you, and you have to decide one of whom you will sign to an even longer contract. Right. And all these contracts are expiring this year.
Right.
So you don't have any choice there. Mm-hmm. So forget everything that you know that may pre-exist.
Okay.
So you either have to sign somebody to a long-term contract, you have to sign somebody to a one-year contract, or you are literally going to kill their career and they will never see football again.
No,
your choices, Kim,
uh-huh.
are the coach that brought you the Super Bowls, Andy Reid,
right?
Travis Kelce,
right?
And Patrick Mahomes.
I knew that was going to happen. I knew you were going to do that.
You would have had Tyreek Hill, but he got smart and left.
Well, I don't know.
I know.
What about that?
Anyway. I know. I hear you. Okay. So there are your three choices, Kim. Who are you going to sign to a long-term contract? Who are you going to give a one-year contract to? And who are you going to literally say, you're not good enough anymore, get out? Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. Well, all right. I was going to say, well, I'm not entirely stupid, but I don't know. We'll see about that. Well, I'd say for a start, we definitely signed Mahomes. You know, for the long term, because in my opinion, unless you ask my father, but in my opinion, he's proven himself. I think he can do it.
Okay. That's fair. And I think a logical choice. But this is the interesting choice now, because you can make an argument on both sides of the coin for either one of these players or coach.
No. God, this is...
Remember, Andy Reid has already had some heart problems. You're just going to add to it.
I know.
You might literally send him to his death.
I'm not actually doing this in real life. I think we sign Kelsey for the 1 year. And I think we get rid of Andy Reid. Let him have his retirement.
Wow. Andy Reid gone, and the Kansas City Chiefs spiral out of control.
Yeah, now we're going to suck. Yeah.
All right. Okay. There we have it. Yep. Andy Reid, sorry, you've lost your job.
Ate too many cheeseburgers.
People from the United Kingdom, I apologize.
Robin. Robin, you are in charge of your life. Robin, I need you to make a life choice decision.
Uh-huh.
Which of these three alcohol beverages are you going to keep forever in your life? Which one are you only going to have access to for 1 year?
Mm-hmm.
And which will you never experience again? As of right now, it will be done. Gone. Okay. Your choices. Spiced rum. Limoncello. And bourbon. Bourbon also classifies as whiskey.
Yes.
Just to complicate it.
It's an American stupid term for whiskey, isn't it?
Whatever. Don't be an asshole.
Okay, so there's a very difficult choice here. There really is. I mean,
I know.
Yeah. But so forever and ever and ever, intravenously get a blood transfusion, it has to be spiced rum. So that's not, yeah.
Spiced rum long term. That's there. Okay.
And unfortunately, what I got to say is I loved limoncello so, so much. It's a lovely drink, but there's so much variety in whiskey. How could I not want to keep, I can't even remember what the questions are. It's just thinking about the drink. So I've got to love the spiced rum forever, you know, Bumbu. Okay. I mean, as we said earlier on, Dan, we must have shares in it by now. The whiskey has to be kept around because it's so much variety. And the limoncello is like a one-hit wonder. It's lovely now and again. But that's the way it's going, so... Yeah.
Christopher Matthews screaming, no, it's a specific type of whiskey, but no, for the purposes of
I wanted to make it difficult. Okay. Yeah. Chris, I get it. Yeah. Like Scotch whiskey is not right. Bourbon. I get that. So things like what? Jack Daniels.
I knew how
Jack
much
Daniels
Robin
is a bourbon, isn't it? Really? Yes. It's a bourbon, that sort of thing. I know that's a cheapy thing stuff, you know, but stuff
I like Jack Daniels.
Kim drinks, you know, religiously, like wild turkey.
There's different versions of Jack Daniels, for the record. So, you know, again, it's like Johnny Walker.
Well, it's not all fashionable now, like Apple Jack Daniels and all of that sort of stuff. That's not real. Connoisseur,
it is actually quite real.
And you know, is Bullet? I know it is because
Bullet whiskey, absolutely.
It's a bourbon. You know, that would be a whiskey, or would you call it bourbon?
Whiskey? They're all basically alcohol. Whiskeys, and then there's different types of. So,
yeah.
There's a Scotch whiskey, there's a bourbon whiskey. Anyway.
Yeah. So, like over here, we have what's called Bushmills. I don't know if you've tried Bushmills.
Yeah.
And Bushmills is a whiskey, but it tastes very, very, very different than a Scotch whiskey because Scotch is pretty strong stuff.
Bushmills in Irish coffee. So there.
Yeah.
That.
Okay. Well, Bushmills, I could sip and drink away like mad. It's a fantastic. I could talk about this. This is a podcast.
Yeah.
I could talk about this all night. So yeah, I'm keeping the spiced rum at the moment. I'm trying to try every spiced rum in the world, and whiskey. Yeah.
I love Christopher Matthew. That's why I'm just going to say that right now. He's in the chat, just absolutely fact checking me left and right.
Leaving. Okay.
He's fucking I'm CNN right now.
Jack Daniels is not a bourbon. It's made in Tennessee. Okay. So where is bourbon? Okay. Well, it's made in Tennessee. Yeah, but Tennessee's cool. Yeah. Anyway.
All right. And now, Robin.
Okay. Yeah.
Now you wanted to hear this.
Oh.
Here is the fucking news.
I got you covered.
General was not recognized.
Okay. News. Let's talk about the news. Well. In the news this week,
Sony's Jim Ryan. He says Microsoft's Call of Duty promises inadequate on so many levels, just like me. The CEO of Sony, Jim Ryan, has revealed that Microsoft offered to keep Call of Duty available on PlayStation for 3 years beyond its current Activision deal. Wasn't that nice? After almost 20 years of Call of Duty on PlayStation, their proposal was inadequate on so many levels and failed to take account of the impact on our players or shareholders, Ryan told Games Industry Biz. I hadn't intended to comment on what I understood to be a private business discussion, but I feel the need to set the record straight. Phil Spencer's T-shirts are smelly, and he brought it into the public forum, Ryan said. Microsoft has only offered Call of Duty to remain on PlayStation for 3 years after the current agreement with Activision and Sony ends. We want to guarantee PlayStation gamers continue to have the highest Call of Duty shoot-in-the-head experience, and Microsoft's proposal undermines this principle. Seriously? What is wrong with this man? Do I need to read further?
Not really. There was basically the UK's competition authority said it was concerned about the Microsoft deal, and Microsoft had made that comment, and that's what sparked Jim Ryan to make his comments. The thing that Jim is so casually kind of glossing over is that currently PlayStation has a deal with Call of Duty that they intend to honor that will keep its exclusivity and its kind of marketing deal with Call of Duty and PlayStation for 3 more years or 3 more releases. And then after that, keep this on there for 3 more years. So in essence, it's at least 6+ more years of Call of Duty on PlayStation. I just find it funny. The promise was inadequate on many levels. So?
Right. At least it was there.
I mean, this is business. I just kind of laugh. Yes, the undermining deals that you guys do all the time is inadequate for Xbox console users, but, that's business. It's part of what happens. Right. I imagine in a few years, Destiny is going to shift to being a PlayStation property. Do not fool yourselves. It's not going to stay on every, console moving forward. It eventually will be just Sony consoles and PC. And just for the record, don't fool yourselves. Sony absolutely is full, both feet jumping into the PC bandwagon. They love this model as well as they love the mobile model. Jim Ryan is all about money, and yep, That's what this is all about at the end of the day.
As a matter of fact, they did buy a mobile. Was it they bought a mobile games publisher or something here lately? So
yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. All this does is it just reaffirms the fact that Microsoft was right with the tactic that they were taking early on with PC and mobile. And Sony is following suit. They understand the writing is on the wall. The days of hardware being the main business line are fading quickly.
Yep.
And it's really becoming a services industry. And I mean, it's kind of always how it's going to be. Just like Steam. Steam is all about, it's not about the PC hardware. It's about the service of Steam. And you buy your games on Steam and then you play them where you want to play them. So continue forward, Robin.
Do you know what? Actually, the first major Cyberpunk 2077 expansion isn't coming to PS4 or PS5 for that matter, or Xbox One. Night City is going to be bigger next year with Phantom Liberty, an expansion adding new characters, a fresh location to Cyberpunk 2077. It's a spy thriller.
I'm all in on this. I saw the trailer for this. Sign me up. Me the F. Well, I am down for this.
The main guy in it is Johnny Silverhand. Must be cold on his Johnson.
That's Keanu Reeves. He's coming back.
Okay.
The ghostly character played by Keanu Reeves, and it involves espionage work for the new United States of America. However, Phantom Liberty is only heading to Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 5, PC, and of course, Stadia. Skipping Xbox One and PS4 altogether. Well, that's understandable at this stage. I don't think that's a big issue. right now?
You know, but oddly, it still is kind of an issue. Like, you still see a lot of games releasing on the older hardware. Yeah. I welcome this. I think it's time we put that old hardware to rest. We move forward.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely ready for more Cyberpunk. Real quickly, Robin, you did skip over one aspect of the previous story, and that is within this Microsoft-Sony back and forth, out of the blue, Meta, i.e. Facebook, actually came to the defense of Microsoft in the Activision Blizzard King acquisition in terms of the Brazil. The Brazilian authority had asked questions of them, asking them about the deal. And we won't go into the nuance of it, but basically Meta came forward basically saying, no, this is totally cool. It's fine. This is the spirit of competition. This is, you know, this competition actually makes games more accessible.
What are they going to buy? What are they trying to buy themselves?
That's precisely the question everybody should be asking themselves. Yeah. What is up Meta's sleeve?
Yeah.
And my guess is, Meta does not want to see a precedence because they probably have some kind of future plan, and it may not be in gaming. It could be in entertainment, who knows, but they want to as clear the deck as much as possible.
Mm.
So to set a precedence of no, it's okay, as opposed to this was too much.
Huh. Interestingly, Boof in the chat says that the Xbox One X Cyberpunk Limited Edition bundle buyers are also getting a partial refund since the upcoming expansion isn't on the Xbox One X.
So interesting.
There you go. That's nice of them. Fair enough. Yeah. They recognize that. Marvel's Midnight Suns will arrive on the 2nd of December. So there you go. How exciting.
I'm very excited.
Midnight Suns has a release date, and it's sooner than you may have expected, Greg. It was revealed during Mickey Mouse and Marvel Games Showcase, the tactical RPG from Firaxis. Will hit PlayStation 5, Xbox X, and S on December the 2nd, with Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One versions arriving at a later date. The game was slated for October, but publisher 2K announced last month that it was pushed back and the release date until sometime later in its fiscal year, which ends in March. So,
yeah. I mean, in essence, yeah, well, they made the announcement. They were pushing it out into their later in their fiscal year. Everybody assumed that meant 2023. And then they turned around and said, nope, December 2nd. And the older generation release will happen probably in 2023. Or who knows, maybe it gets dumped. But I'm excited for this.
Are you okay, XCOM Greg?
Game. No, I'm all choked up.
I made your balls drop there. I really did.
It did. I'm really choked up now.
And this next piece here is interesting because this is something that I thought was sort of a PlayStation thing when PlayStation 4 was announced, that you could jump into people's games and all of that stuff. So the next Xbox update will allow players to start a game from a friend's clip or screenshot. Well, it's sort of different. Microsoft is rolling out an Xbox update that includes handy consoles and cloud gaming features and a noise suppression option, removing background audio and breathing. We need that in this podcast. From party chats on Series X and S. There's a new way to hop into a game when a friend shares a screenshot or game clip that catches your eye. You'll be able to tap the play button on your computer or mobile device and fire up the game in a browser. For instance, if you're on a phone and you see a cool sharing with dad clip that your friend posted, you can start playing the game by clicking the button. Given that this is a cloud gaming function, you'll need an Xbox Game Pass Ultimate membership to use it. Xbox take on the feature doesn't seem to be quite as advanced as Stadia's Stitcher. Wow. However, the latter allows you to join a game at the same point as someone else and experience the world exactly as they left it. Just by clicking the link, you'll know where the soap has gone.
Two things.
Yeah.
One, the Showering with Friends game is releasing on Pornhub later this year.
Cool.
Two, did Stadia's Stitcher ever actually release? Did that feature ever come out?
It says it here, so it must be true.
Okay. Well, I remember they announced it. I remember they talked about how you would be able to just, you know, you could see it in a YouTube video and you could click on the YouTube video and you'd be able to get the game and jump into it instantly.
Yeah. But how fickle must you be to want to do that? Yes, it's a nice little feature, but
Oh, wow. He posted a thing. There's a game I've never played before. Let's go to it. Maybe that would happen in reality, would it?
Possibly. I mean, I suppose you could post a screenshot of a set of lasagna.
Yeah.
And I would see that and I'd be like, I want
to. Oh, wow. I have to spend $5,000 too.
Yeah. Then I'd realize, no, this sucks. I don't have all the screens. I don't have all the equipment, but I got the game now.
Anyway, there you go. All right. That's the news.
That's good. Good stuff. Kim, we have new releases to talk about.
We do. Quite a few, actually.
And already. I don't think any of these have been messed with.
Nope.
Not
one. Time to mess.
That's a first. All righty. Your new releases for September 11th through the star. Oh, there he goes. We're working on it already. We have Little Orpheus for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the Scourgebringer for iOS and Android on September 13th for the Switch on September 13th as well.
Very quiet, darling.
You suck at parking. Or, no, it's just you. For the Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, PC on September 15th. Bear and Breakfast for the Switch on September 15th. Actually, I might pick that one up for this. Metal Hellsinger, which is also coming to Game Pass. On PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC on the 15th as well. Outer Wilds, which I'm assuming this is a current gen model,
right,
is coming on September 15th. Splitgate, not Spitgate, which is coming to PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on the 15th as well. Wayward Strand for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on September. Oh, because I know there's. Yep. Return to Funky Monkey Island, which is actually Return to Monkey Island on the Switch and PC on September 17th. I know there's a few people that are looking for that one. I haven't actually got into the Monkey Island games yet. I keep trying and failing, and I know they're hilarious.
I don't know if they're really hilarious. I think right? This is a question to really be asked at some point because
is
I have.
Nostalgia? Maybe.
I think some of it's nostalgia. Mm. Just saying. Also, Bear and Breakfast, why do I feel like this is Yogi and Bear?
I wish.
And, yeah, you know.
I would play it even more.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, Monkey Island is from the same guy, Ron Gilbert, who did the Deathspank series of games, which I absolutely fucking adored because they were hilarious. So I was hoping, I had kind of big hopes for Monkey Island, but every time I try to start up and play it, I just... Mm. All right. Anyway. But they could do a remake of Deathspank, and I'd be incredibly grateful. Games were awesome!
Yeah, that Bear and Breakfast game has just transformed into something very, very different. All right. Where are we? Where are we in this show? It's insanity right now.
Closing notes, I think.
We are. We're at that time. Hey.
Ice Beaver.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate that.
Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights are Halo nights. All of you sitting out there in the chat listening to this, come sorry. Hang out. We'll play some Halo. I don't care if they're fucking up the game and that the 343s, they need more maps, blah, 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 blah. We still have a lot of fun playing Halo. Friday night, PUBG. Oh, my God, this game is back in my life, and I love it. And so we are playing Friday nights. That's 9 p.m. ish. Well, between 8 and 9 p.m. We're giving ourselves a little bit of a window. And that allows me a little bit of a window to say this is technically still lunchtime. But yeah, so 8 to 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 hour at least. Let me just say that. And it's been a great time. Snoogans, Mark,
so
myself.
So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time.
Literally just feel dumber every time I hear her talk. we have Luis Raimondo, Martin playing Halo. So it's a good time. Get in. On that note, Robin, start.
Yeah. Mark, it's great to hear you're around. Not the shape, the round, you know, fair enough. But around this, talking and playing games and stuff. Lovely. Can't wait to have you back on the show. Phil and all the guys, woohoo! Pete, I hope you're getting ready for your captain's hat and your boat and all that there. And all the guys in the chat, it's been really good. And nice love to have Christopher Matthew in there on episode 700. You must send me your address and I'll get you back some Black Bush sent over to you, sir. Because the Bushmills Brewery is just up the road from me, about 20 minutes, half an hour away.
Send a bunch of black hair to you. Don't fall for it.
Yeah, dear. It's all coming back, you know. Well, if you leave it long enough. Anyway, yeah, Kim.
Yeah, that's me. I'm going to shout out our shouters real quick. We had CP Matthew, of course, Hartley Dan, Lord, Boop, and Boomer did finally show up. So thank you guys for showing up in our chat. We appreciate it very much. Shout out to you guys. It's a fun show, like always. You know, I have fun when I come on here, obviously. Shout out to the Cardinals. They won, and Pujols hit his 697th home run today.
Yeah.
I'm tickled about that. And I know I promised no football talk, but go Chiefs!
Fair enough. I want to shout out Jameson, who is my brand spanking new nephew. My sister and my niece and her husband gave birth to Jameson.
So is this what, like the night that they, you know, made him? That was the night of Jameson whiskey, was it? Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, probably.
Absolutely. Mm. But it, just nice to have something positive, a new addition to the family, as opposed to what we were dealing with life before that. Yes. Yeah. Shout out to my wife.
It could have been called Love Frog.
Such a cunt. I love you. Anyway, shout out to Cindy. She will never hear this, but I love her regardless. And she's been dealing with all kinds of shit. And so she is my superwoman.
We all love 100%. Cindy.
I know.
We'd like
love
to.
Love her long time.
All of us. Take a
every
life.
Single
take
one.
Take a number.
Take, it's a long list. On that note, let's get the hell out of here.
See you guys.
Love kids jumping on my lap.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.